I wanted to talk to you a little bit about exercise, but some of you may not be able to exercise, not yet, or maybe not at all. And some of you may be out there jogging or swimming or doing all kinds of different things. And so let me give you a little bit of an idea. It's important to move. The moving of the body, for one thing, just breathing deep. If you can't exercise, do breathing exercises. Expanding your rib cage. If you can lift your arms above your head and then bring them back down, lift it up. That helps move the lymph system. The lymph system has a ball of lymph glands up in the right-hand side under the rib cage and then down the left-hand side. And the expansion of the rib cage is basically how that is pumped. And so a lot of times in the exercise, you feel so much better afterwards for a number of reasons. You got more oxygen into the cells and different things. But one of the things that's happened is endorphins move through the lymph system. And so you feel better. But endorphins also have a healing effect within the body. They're not just a feel-good hormone. They actually have a they actually help bring on healing. That's one of the things that I learned from a doctor that was a leading doctor in acupuncture. He was a surgical veterinarian that developed this red light that you could activate acupuncture points without needles. And it worked really well. And he could demonstrate it on horses and all kinds of animals, as well as humans. And he told me that when you're under chronic pain for more than 4 to 6 weeks, it's acute pain between 6 weeks or less, then it becomes chronic pain. The difference between the two is the brain quits sending down endorphins and other healing hormones to take care of that. And acupuncture wakens that up and tells the brain to turn down. So it's very much like our computer screen going dark, and then you touch your mouse or your computer, and it wakes back up. Well, they wake it back up. Exercise, though, has a similar effect on the body. Now, the way I tell people to approach exercise, I can take a person that barely can do anything and start them off with what they can do, and then you gradually increase them. So I don't know if my analogy to the way I approach my stationary bike. But when I bought a new stationary bike here at the house, I hadn't cycled in a while, quite a few years actually. I'd had an accident, sort of ate up the side of my forearm, hitting sand, taking a corner too fast, and I didn't know there was going to be sand on the asphalt. And so, I didn't work out that way. Lifting weights, getting on the elliptical, on the treadmill and stuff. And when you change exercise forms, you can be in condition from one form of exercise and not another. And I'd heard that all my life, or for quite a few years, but I really didn't appreciate the concept of sport-specific training. And when I was about 34, 35, in there for a year or two, I was swimming laps. I'd been doing that for a number of years. I was swimming about a mile during my lunch hour and using my exercise equipment that I was inventing at the time. And I was bicycling 35 miles after work sometimes, 25 to 35 miles. And then I read an article on what burns the most calories. And they said walking upstairs burns 1,100 calories an hour. Jogging or running for an hour was 660 calories. It depended on the pace you were doing it. And I said, well, what happens if I run up the stairs? So I went down to our rodeo grounds in my small hometown and ran up the bleachers and ran up the stairs and started off with the bleachers. So you're taking two stairs at a time. And at first I could only do it for about 15 minutes because I was going to throw up. But over a period of months, I was running up and down the stairs for about an hour. Well, it was an hour. And I was holding on to about a pound and a half weights in with both hands. Got in great shape. I was really in too good a shape. My blood pressure almost got too low. And a nurse friend of mine told me, said, I bet you're a little bit dizzy when you stand up. And I said, well, I am. I didn't think about it. I said, yeah, you've lowered your blood pressure almost too much. So I'm not always excited when they say, oh, boy, the person's blood pressure is under 100. no, I think your blood pressure ought to at least be 105, 110, maybe 120, because you want a good distance between the lower number and the higher number. You want a good response in there. But anyway, a lot of people exercise, over-exercise, and they feel great when they're exercising for an hour or two after that, then they don't feel so good, so they get addicted to it. But here's how you approach it. When I, on my bicycle, it has different levels of intensity. So I started off 30 minutes on top of the other exercise routine I had at home, and at a level 3. Now I'm at a level 9. But when I increase the level, and I worked up to a level, to doing it for an hour, but when I increase the level, I decrease the amount of time. And so now I was working, I was at level 6 just a few weeks ago, and I was working an hour. When I went up to level 7, I decreased it to 45 minutes. And then when I, and then worked back up to an hour, then when I went up to the next level, I increased the intensity, decreased the time duration, and worked it that way until now I'm at 9 and doing an hour. But there's something else I do. I read an article many years ago where they took two groups of people, and they had one group bicycle on a stationary bike, as college kids, and they had one group bicycle for an hour, and they wanted them to go at a what they call moderate aerobic capacity. The way they figure aerobics, so you take your age. Let's say you're 40 years old, easy number to work with. Maximum heartbeat is 220. So they track 40, and they say your maximum heartbeat for a 40-year-old is 180. Now, let's take 70 to 75% of 180, and that's the range they want you to work in. So it may be 110, 120. And they want you to work in that range for a prolonged period of time. And they always used to think that was the best way to burn fat, as well as the best thing cardiovascularly. And then lifting weights, all that would do for you is put on muscle. Now they really want older people to lift weights and to really stimulate their muscle, because it also stimulates bone density. If you don't, if you're not have a lot of resistance, you don't have, you don't create enough, you don't stimulate. Okay. When a person curls a weight and the bicep is really straining, it's slightly bending the bone at the same time as the tendons hang on to both ends of the bone. It slightly bends it and creates an electrical charge that runs up the bone, and that causes it to draw in minerals. So that's why they take people that are quadriplegic to paraplegic, and they put them in this standing chair where they're standing upright. They lock their knees, and they rest their arms on this table. And I used to work with paraplegic and quadriplegics with my exercise equipment. They were trying it with them at the VA in Northridge, California. And they'd have to stand for an hour a day and sit around and talk to each other. But that, just the standing on gravity, was flexing the bone and helping keep bone density in their hips and thigh bone and all the way through. And so that's important. But people that lift weights have great bone density if they're really strained. And some people just go through the motion and go, oh, but I've seen that time and time again, that there's hardly any resistance there, but they feel like they're doing something. You have to, if you're lifting weights, you have to lift a weight where at the time you get to 8 to 10 reps, you can't move it another time. It has to be a challenge to the muscle or it doesn't change. You're not going through the motion. But when you're doing aerobic exercise, that's a little different. Now, what I was telling you before, they had one group of people bicycle for 45 minutes to an hour, and they followed them for 22 weeks.